I know you fellas. You're pussyfooters and you don't want to hear preaching. You're just trying to do yelling. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you so very, very much. It is a thrill. It's a joy to be here. My heart has just been anticipating being here in this wonderful place. I have known this college ever since it started, and it's always been a thrill to be here. Our son went here, our daughter went here, many of our church members went here and graduated, some of them from Germany went here. I don't know whether any of you know the Coulette family. You know the Coulette family? Say amen. Oh, good, good. They were here, but it's a joy to be here. I thank the Lord for Brother Wilkerson. When First Baptist and Hiles Anderson needed Dr. Wilkerson, Dr. Wilkerson was there and available, and I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for Brother Young and what he has meant to my life. He's been a great friend. He's a military enthusiast because his father served in Germany and in the war. And he and I have many conversations about that. And then the men here, thank the Lord for them. I'm with Brother Bart Spencer at Lighthouse Baptist Church, where I think Brother King was talking about crazy people and talked about Brother Spencer and his people. But one of the most wonderful places that I know to go to. And if you ever get in that area, please go. Brother and Mrs. Fish, are you here? Where are you at? God bless your heart. Make sure that I see you before I leave. And the Malucci young man, where are you? Malucci. Three of them. Do you boys remember sitting on the pews there at Mannheim, Germany? Oh, God bless you. Please tell your father and mother, I talk about y'all often. And I talk about it good. I don't know, your dad or your mom must have beat the fire out of you or something. But you were some of the most well-behaved children. Are they still well-behaved?
They've gotten over that.
Yeah, I see. Now, let me get something out of the way. There was a fellow that he asked me recently. He said, Brother Lancaster, do you still kick your leg like that? And I had a stroke in January. And if I do too much kicking, I'll end up on the floor. And so don't think that I'm backslidden or pussyfooting or anything like that if I don't kick the way I used to. But it's all because of a problem, and I'm working my way through it. September the 11th, 20 years ago, I had just finished preaching the message that I'm going to try to preach to you this morning. I was in Germany at a place called Melligen, Germany, for a missionary fellowship. And the fellowship was over. Of course, we were 8 hours ahead, 9 hours ahead of y'all. And so one of the missionaries that worked with us and his wife and my wife and I, we drove back that hour and a half from Melligen back to Mannheim. And I needed something, and I asked my missionary friend who had a pass to the PX to get me some high-speed aspirin. And so we went into the PX, and when we went in, everybody was stopped. Watching the monitors, the television sets on the wall, and the first tower had just come down. And I rushed to our house and turned on the television. And I will always appreciate Fox News, because for about maybe a month and a half or so, 24 hours a day without advertisement. Fox News was the only English-speaking channel that gave it to us like that. And so I saw the second tower come down. Our base had been an open base. That meant that we could drive up anytime we wanted to. From that moment on, until this present day, of course, the base is closed now. But from that time on, the gates were closed. Fortunately, God gave me a pass because of a colonel in our church. But things changed, things that you probably have never had to go through. And I'm going to preach about revival in just a minute, and that's what we need. It wasn't too long before I got a letter from the embassy saying that my church was a dangerous place. We were off base, and we had a large gathering of Americans, and we did have problems. I had a note left on our door of the church, leave or we're going to kill you. And we had at one time a row of Middle Easterners, Muslims, I presume, come into our service, and they sat for a little while with a scowl on their face, and we treated them nicely. And then when I started preaching, they left. Our base became a place where the U.S. military drove a guard truck around it during the evening hours. And two terrorists were caught and arrested that worked on the base. One of them was a barber, and the other one, I don't know, but I don't know what he was doing, but they had plans to bomb our bases. And it was troublesome times. We are living in those times again. I have never been as concerned about America as I am now. Now, I'm not going to come to you with a downer, but I'm not going to try to tickle your ears or to preach something that I think you'll just like. We need some people that will get a hold of God for revival. I am an 81-year-old man, and I have never voted for a Democrat. I will never vote for a Democrat. I'll die a happy man as a result of that. They officially murder babies, and I believe, I don't know what kind of Bible you've got, but I believe that murdering babies is against God. And I believe that God will curse a people that mandate and back up the murdering of unborn babies and the promotion of an alternate lifestyle, so it's called. We need a revival. Now, there is no political party that can take care of that. Well, let's just turn to the scripture. Turn, if you will, to the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk. Now, Bob Jones students may know where that is, but you might have a little difficult time finding it. I'm just joking. Great day. Don't report me now. I'm just joking. The book of Habakkuk. Chapter 3, and direct your attention, if you will, please, to verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. Oh, I'm sorry, I got so excited. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? Verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Thank you, and you may be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord, your servant Spurgeon said, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. God, fill my mouth, my heart, with words. Words that you want me to speak. And help me to speak them the way you want me to. I thank you, dear God, for this wonderful place. Thank you for these students, their love for you. And, oh God, will you please bless each of them. Bless the staff and the administration and each teacher, each person that causes these young people to go a step further. God be with them. Now, Lord, you know who I am. I don't know anything. I don't have anything. I am nothing without you. Oh, God, will you please help me? I remind you, Lord, not though you need to be reminded of anything, but I remind you of Greenwood, Louisiana. God, help me now. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, at 1 o'clock, I'd like to invite anybody that would like to come, and I'll have a time, as much time as you would like to take, to answer any questions that you have about missions. My wife and I have been working in missions work for many years, but we did serve 20 years in Germany. And if you have any questions, and I will give you a lesson that will help to change your life. It'll be a short, to-the-point lesson, but it's a lesson that'll be worth coming and being there at the other time. 1 o'clock, if you will. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In other words, what God's Word says here is periodically there's a need for revival. Periodically there's a need for revival. Now somebody asked, Brother Hank Esther, what is revival? We had one on our calendar last year at church. You don't put revivals on calendars. Now, you may put one in prayer and anticipation of revival. But revival only comes from God. When God's people meet certain conditions. And revivals have changed the world. When the plague of rebellion was moving across Europe in the 18th century, revival came. Revival came to a small German community called Herrnhut, Germany. And there was a group of people called Merovians, and there was a leader called Zwingli. And revival came to that community, that church. And many countries suffered bloodbaths, but not Germany and not England. As a matter of fact, it went to England, and then from England, George Whitefield came to America, and revival came to America. And revival caused America not to fall through the abyss of nations that had just gone the way of destruction. And that happened again. A small Bible college happened to be a Methodist Bible college, but a small Bible college in Kentucky, Asbury College, the president of the college was gone, but one of the professors, it was turned over him to conduct that chapel in that small chapel of that small Methodist Bible college. And he got up and he said, well, I don't believe I'm going to preach. I'm just going to give you an opportunity to have testimonies. And people began to stand. And some began to weep. And began to ask God to forgive them and other people to forgive them. And professors to forgive them. And revival broke out. The next morning, the man that was left in charge called the president who was speaking at another city, another state, and said, the president said, how was chapel yesterday? And he said, still going on. And it had gone on all that day and all that night. And then it went on for several other days, never stopped. Revival came. In one town, two young men from that church had asked the president, can we go to our town and me try to get into my high school and see if our principal will let me say what's been happening here? And the president said, okay. So those two young men went to South Pittsburgh, Tennessee High School and spoke. 500 people came forward to get saved. I was preaching at a church there in South Pittsburgh, and I told that story. And there was a woman back there just weeping. And she told me afterwards, she said, I know that's true. I was one of them. I was one of them. We need revival. A moving of Almighty God. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. That means that every once in a while, a country needs revival. You and I don't have to think about it too much, but America needs a revival. Desperately needs a revival. Sometimes churches need a revival. Sometimes colleges need a revival. But I can tell you this for certain. Sometimes an individual Christian needs a revival. A family needs a revival. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. The formula is in the Word of God. It's found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, now you will notice that there is an if. Revival doesn't come automatically. The outpouring of God's blessings, the outpouring of God's healing, the outpouring of God's power does not just come because we think about it or wish it. It comes because we meet the conditions. If my people, which are called by my name, the problem in America is not the beer drinker or the beer dealer or the porn dealer or any other thing or the liberal preacher. The problem is America, in America, is with God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. The Bible says that God resisteth the proud. Did you know something, honey? You don't have anything to be proud of. Did you know something, buddy? You don't have anything to be proud of. Everything that you've got that's good, God gave it to you. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Oh, I think about my college days. And I think about beloved, blessed friends. And they said, Tommy, let's go pray. I think about the times that Carol Joy, we worked at a little boys' home near the college where we went to college, and we became fast friends. And he's he's now my beloved friend and his wife. And I can remember the bean fields out behind the two little old trailer homes where we lived. And Carol would say to me, or I'd say to him, let's go pray a little while. And we'd get out there in those bean fields and get on our knees And we would pray for God to bless us and God to meet our needs and for God to come down in power when we preach the Word of God. Let me ask you this. Do you pray? Do you pray for Daddy? I tried to win my daddy to the Lord. He had only seen me drunk when I was a teenage kid. And he didn't trust me. But I thank God that one day I drove to Forest City, Arkansas, and I went up to that door to see my daddy, and he wrapped his arms around me and hugged me and hugged the kids and hugged my wife. And I said, that's sure not like my daddy. But we went in and sat down, and I talked to him for a little while. And then my daddy said, Tommy, where have you been for the last couple of weeks? And I said, Daddy, I've been in revival meetings for the last couple of weeks. And he said, son, something happened to me. I said, what was it? He said, I got saved. And boy, when I settled down again, I said, Daddy, who led you to the Lord? He said, right down the street there, two teenage girls. And I'm friends with them and their family. And those two teenage girls came and led me to the Lord. You do any praying? Have you prayed for Mama? Have you prayed for Daddy and Granddaddy? Have you prayed for your pastor? Have you prayed for your church? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, those of you that are parents, you've experienced this. Son, I got something to tell you. Yeah, go ahead. You go ahead, Mama. Wait. Yeah. Wait, go ahead. Pay attention to me, son. Pay attention to me. And then if he wouldn't listen, you know what you did? Listen to me. Listen to me. You know what God's saying? Pay attention to me. That's what this book's for. I want to tell you something. Now listen to me carefully. If you only get in this book out of an obligation that's been given to you from your teacher or from reading some short two-sentence devotion. But if you don't get in this book like a love letter from Almighty God, you're not worth the gunpowder it'd take to shoot you. You need to hit the altar like a drunk and say, Dear God, will you please forgive me? You know what this book is for? It's for us to pay attention to God. And I want to tell you something. You know what I found out? None of His commandments are grievous. Everything that He tells us to do is for our benefit. He loves us. Did you know that God loves us so much that He actually says, don't do that. Don't hurt yourself. And He says, here's what I want you to do because I love you. Do you pay attention to God? What about it, young lady? Are you paying attention to God? What about it, preacher boy? Are you paying attention to God? You might say, well, once I get out there as a preacher, as a missionary, I'll start to really study my Bible. You better do it right now, right where you are. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Isn't that something? God says, now, if you do this, if you do this, then I will. I'm working on a message. It takes me a lot of time to finish my messages. It usually takes 2 or 3 months. And I've been working on a message on when is then? When is then? Oh, you think about that. Then. I'll do what I said I was going to do. But it's if we meet His conditions. I've only got a minute or two, but turn with me, if you will, to the great penitential prayer of David. That's found in Psalm 51. The great penitential prayer of David. I'd love to spend a lot of time with you. Let me just point out just one thing, if you will, before I go to several things. But look, if you will, at verse 2. Wash me truly. Let me ask you and me this. Have you ever wanted to be thoroughly right with God?
Amen. Good.
Thoroughly right. Have you ever been willing to sincerely say, Lord, search me.
Amen.
Show it all to me.
Good.
Search me. I want you to see four spirits and I'll quit. I don't want to quit. I don't ever want to be a quitter. Dr. House said, cut it out of your dictionary. Quit. I think he said, cut both quit and compromise out of your dictionary. Both of them begin with a K. Let's look at it. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart. I had just gotten out of jail when I got saved. I had been in jail in November of 1962 for public drunkenness, disorderly conduct, assault and battery, and resisting arrest. That wasn't the first time that I'd been in jail for such things as that. But I remember holding on to the bars and saying, I wonder who's going to come and get me out. And soon my cousin came through and paid the bail and got me out of jail. And while I was in jail that time, I asked this question. Woo! Is this all life is ever going to be for me? Am I going to be from pillar to post? Am I going to always live in such a way that nobody will ever think anything of me and I'll always be ashamed of myself? Is this what life is for me? And I never dreamed that on May the 15th, 1963, outside of the back gate of Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, there was going to be a knock on my door and somebody was going to come in with the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was going to get saved. And life was going to change for me. Oh, gave me a clean heart. Now, I've dirtied it up from time to time since then, and I've been sorry for it, but I'm thankful that he's a merciful God. Look, if you will, please, at verse 10, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. Now, let me try to hurry. Say, Brother Lancaster, right spirit. Obviously, that's talking about the Holy Spirit. No, that's the next verse. You know what the right spirit is? It's the right attitude. You know what's going to make you a dropout? And I've seen them. I've seen them from this school right here. I brought a kid to school. Wasn't from our church. He's a good young man. He still communicates with us now. You know how long he lasted? He lasted one day. He could look around and see the short haircuts and the dresses in the right place and see the manners and all of that. And he told me, he said, Preacher, I got to go home. I'm calling my parents and see if they'll let me get on a plane. He lasted one day. I want to tell you something. You won't last if you don't have a good attitude. You got a know-it-all attitude, you're not going to make it, honey. You got to blame everybody else attitude, you're not going to make it, honey. You got to criticize other people, you're not going to make it. How's your attitude? How's your attitude? Then look at the next one here. He says in verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Holy Spirit. Did you know that if you got saved, you got God in you? Isn't that wonderful? Woo! Somebody ought to say amen or hallelujah or something. You've got God in you. Isn't that great? And did you know something? Nobody else has it over you as far as opportunity is concerned. You might say, well, I wasn't raised in a good home. I didn't have a good pastor. I had all of you. I had this. Oh, shut up. It's not all of those things. You've got God in you. God in you. You don't come short on anything. You've got Almighty God in you. And if you'll keep the dirt out, God will work in you. If you keep the dirt, I never will forget the first sermon I ever preached in South Carolina at a country church out in the countryside of Darlington County, South Carolina. I gave the invitation, and I had two men in the church. Both of them had surrendered to preach. This was shortly after I started pastoring there. Two men surrendered to preach. And they both came forward and told me that they had been called of God. And I was a dumb preacher. I probably still am, but I'm so old that people don't tell me that anymore. But here was my philosophy. Here are two young men that have been called to preach. They need to hear a sermon on the filling of the Spirit. That makes sense, doesn't it, Brother King? And I said, I need it so everybody else in church can go to sleep, but I'm gonna preach to these two guys and myself. And to the best of my ignorant ability, I preached on the filling of the Spirit. And when I gave the invitation, the altar was filled. I started on this end, and I went down the altar. Teenagers, housewives, an old man, Mr. Bernice Yarbrough. And as I put my arm on his back, his old body was just chugging. And I said, Mr. Yarbrough, why did you come? And he looked up at me and tears just streaming down his face. And he said, Preacher, farmers need to be filled with the Spirit too, don't they? I said, you got it. I went to the end of the altar, and Mrs. Lancaster had left the piano, and she had come to the altar, and I wrapped my arm around my sweetheart, and I said, honey, why did you come today? And she said, Tommy, our son needs a mother that's filled with the Spirit. And you need a wife that's filled with the Spirit. The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You say, what formula do you have for that? I can tell you how it happened to me. I got outside of the car and walked up into the trees at Camp Lejeune. Got on my knees and got onto my face, and I told God what a failure I was and how I wanted to serve Him, and I didn't have the ability to do it, but would He fill me with the power to do it anyway? Lord, don't take Your Holy Spirit from me. Now, we know in the Old Testament the Holy Spirit came upon people, but in the New Testament the Holy Spirit comes within us, never to leave us. But the Bible says, don't be drunk, don't be controlled, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Are you controlled with the Spirit? And then look, if you will, please, at verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Free spirit, right spirit, Holy Spirit, free spirit. You say, what is the free spirit? The free spirit is when you do what you ought to do, not because somebody tells you to do it, but because you love the Lord.
Amen. Good.
You read your Bible because you love Him.
Amen.
You pray because you love to talk to Him.
Amen.
You say no to sin because you know He hates sin.
Amen.
You tell other people about Him and how they can come to know Him because you love Him.
Amen.
Do you operate under that free spirit? free spirit. And then finally, look, if you will, please, at verse 17, broken spirit. Have you ever been broken? Have you? Sin and the consciousness of sin will break you. The consciousness of our lack of commitment, dedication, and love and devotion to Him ought to break us. Ought to break us. Thank you so much. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, will you help us? Please, Lord. Help us, O God. Speak to us. Speak to us. Please, Lord. God, our country is in a mess. We need a revival. God, there are homes represented by people that are on their knees right now that need a revival. There are churches back yonder that need a revival. There may be even pastors back yonder that need a revival. Oh, God, no doubt there are students on their knees right now. And more than anything else, they need the fresh breath of God to come across them now. Revive us, O God. Help us, Lord, to acknowledge the fact that we've got God in us. God in us. And let us so get rid of the minutiae and get rid of the dirt, get rid of the sin, so God in us will work freely. Oh, God, meet our need. Maybe there are some right here on their knees that need to get saved. God, save them. If you're on your knees right now and you're not dead sure, 100% dead sure that you're on your way to heaven, lift your hand right where you are. I'm looking to my right, my right. Lift your hand right now. What about over here to my left? Lift your hand right now. Are there those that today, right now, you feel like God's called you? God has spoken to you and said, here am I, and you're going to say, here am I, send me, Lord. Anybody like that? Right now, here today, I feel like God is speaking to me. Yes, I see your hand over here to my right, Anybody over here to my left? Over here to my left, out in the auditorium. Will you go straight to Brother King as soon as the service is over and tell him, Brother King, I have surrendered my life to the Lord today. I've done that today. Anybody else? Anybody else? Now, dear God, we offer our lives to you. We acknowledge the fact that we are nothing. You are everything. But we are nothing. Oh, God, I pray that we will go in the love of Jesus and in the power of His Holy Spirit to our families, to our friends, to our neighbors, to this community, to our bus routes, and eventually to our churches and mission fields. Revive us, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.